Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I told our catechism students this week that we won't actually spend all that long studying the sixth chief part of Luther's small catechism, the part on the Lord's Supper. Not that the Lord's Supper isn't important. We'll spend a month on it. But that's very little compared to the second chief part on the Creed. We won't spend much time on it because the teaching of the Lord's Supper in Holy Scripture is really very, very simple. Because the words of the Lord Jesus concerning his supper are very, very simple. This evening, we focus on what the Lord's Supper is. What is the sacrament of the altar? It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, under the bread and wine, instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and to drink. Where is this written? The holy evangelists Matthew, Mark, Luke, and St. Paul write, "Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, 'Take and drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.'" Now, countless books and volumes have been written on this simple teaching of the Small Catechism on what the Lord's Supper is. Countless controversies have raged over the centuries. The visible Christian church is still divided largely over this doctrine of the Lord's Supper. What a shame, because it's yet another example, not unlike the doctrine of justification, of the devil taking the clear words of Scripture and blowing a cloud of smoke over them, as it were, so that people can't see them clearly anymore. May God grant us his Holy Spirit to enable us to see through the smoke and the fog to the clear words of the Lord. It's the night on which Jesus was betrayed, Maundy Thursday, the Thursday of Holy Week. They're in Jerusalem, he and his disciples, in that upper room that we know so famously. It's the Passover meal that Jesus is celebrating with his disciples, with the lamb and the unleavened bread and the bitter herbs and the wine. They had finished the Passover meal itself, and then Jesus does something new. He takes the bread, gives thanks for it, breaks it, that is, divides it up, and gives it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." So, what is the sacrament of the altar? Well, it is bread, no doubt about it, but it is bread which the Lord declares to be his body. Which body? The very one that was given for you. Given where? Well, as we make the connection with what he says about the cup and his blood shed for you, it's clear that his body was given on the cross for us. That connection is important because it's not some other body, some spirit body, someone else's body, some body of Christ as in the church that he's giving to us. He's giving us his very body, which was given for us. How can that piece of bread be the body of Christ? We have no idea, and we don't try to explain it. We simply believe that it is because he said, "This is. And there is no indication in the text of any of the Gospels or St. Paul that the word is means anything other than is. Then he takes the cup of wine, gives thanks, and gives it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." So what is the sacrament of the altar? It's wine. No doubt about it. St. Paul rebukes the Corinthians for abusing the Lord's Supper by getting drunk from it. You don't get drunk from grape juice. But it is wine which the Lord declares to be his blood. Which blood? The blood of the New Testament, which Christ shed on the cross. When Moses sealed the Old Testament for the people of Israel and with the children of Israel, that covenant or testament was sealed with blood too. It says in the book of Exodus, Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words." So too, the new covenant or the new testament is sealed with the blood, not of an animal, but of Christ. His blood shed once on the cross and now applied to the people of God repeatedly, not by sprinkling, but by drinking. Not once, but as often as you drink it. How can the wine in the cup be the blood of Christ? We have no idea. We don't try to explain it. We simply believe that it is because he said this is. And there is no indication in the text of any of the Gospels or the Apostle Paul that the word is means anything other than is. What's that? Human reason says it makes no sense? Who cares? What's that? Jesus uses metaphors in other parts of the scriptures. I am the vine. You are the branches. Yes, and then he always goes on to explain some spiritual truth based on that earthly image or comparison. Not here in the Lord's Supper. In what way is his body like bread? In what way is his blood like wine? There is no analogy. There is no comparison. There's no representation. Is simply means is. Does the rest of Scripture agree with that interpretation? Well, what does St. Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 10? The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? How can you have a communion, a coming together, a sharing in, a participation of the bread and the wine with something that isn't there, with something that is absent? And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, St. Paul accuses those who eat the supper unworthily of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. How can you sin against the body and blood of the Lord if they are absent from the bread and the wine? Roman Catholics agree that Jesus' body and blood are really present in the sacrament of the altar, but then they philosophize about the bread and the wine vanishing, so that it's no longer bread and wine, it only looks like bread and wine. The evangelicals simply believe in the real absence of the body and blood of Jesus in the supper, claiming that the bread and wine merely represent the body and blood of Jesus. And the Calvinists craftily claim to believe that there is a spiritual presence of Jesus there, but that it's not at all connected to the bread that is eaten or to the wine that is drunk. It's received only by faith, they say, not orally with the mouth. so that an unbeliever who happens to receive the Lord's Supper doesn't receive anything at all but plain bread and wine. We Lutherans teach the real presence of Jesus' body and blood with the bread and the wine. We stick with the simple words of Scripture, and we leave it to others to deny it or to twist it or to philosophize over it. We will stick with the simple words of the Lord and be content to know that He wishes to give us this gift of His very body and blood to eat and to drink. As for why He gives it and the benefit we are to receive from it and how we receive that benefit, that we will cover in the next 2 weeks, if the Lord is willing. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.